He's got an opinion and he's not afraid to share it. Now, sharing his lunch? That's a different story. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
At some point in our lives, we've all been diagnosed with a bacterial infection. And you may or may not be aware that all bacteria are not the enemy. There are good bacteria, there are bad bacteria. Maybe it's not that simple. And my next guest, Dr. Raphael Kelman, author of the Microbiome Diet book, is here to help us kind of debunk these myths that we are so afraid of bacteria and think of them as our enemy. Dr. Kelman, as you've discussed in your latest book, the Microbiome Diet book, you talk about how, you know, eating to feed the proper bacteria in our gut will help us lose weight. Tell me a little bit more about when you adopt this lifestyle, what else can we expect to get better instead of just focusing on losing weight?
Yeah. You know, what the research is showing on the microbiome, these trillions of microbes that are friendly and play an integral role in our health, is that not only does it improve our metabolism and it helps us with weight loss and reducing inflammation, but it also has a profound positive effect on the brain. Research is showing that the gut and the microbiome in the gut, these trillions of bacteria, have direct communication pathway to the brain. And it works the other way, too. There's a bidirectional pathway between the gut and the trillions of bacteria and the brain. And if the microbiome is unhealthy, we are much more susceptible to depression and anxiety. In fact, researchers have identified some of the bacteria that can improve brain function and mood. I don't think it's that simple. I think it you have to look at the big picture, but they're already seeing some of the health, the bacteria that may be playing a role in a positive mood. And the opposite is true, too. When the microbiome is unhealthy because of our lifestyle and the types of foods that we're eating, we are likely to be more susceptible to depression and anxiety. So therefore, a new and novel treatment for depression and anxiety and even a wide variety of neurocognitive issues, meaning memory and depression, memory, focus, depression, anxiety, is improving the microbiome. Some people are calling it now psychotropics. In other words, the use of the microbiome, improving the microbiome to improve the brain, to help with depression and anxiety. And I'm finding this clinically, that when we change the diet as a lifestyle change and we improve the microbiome with various foods that I outline in the microbiome diet, and with the use of certain supplements that feed the microbiome, they're called prebiotics, and as icing on the cake, the use of certain probiotics, absolutely, I find this clinically, that this helps quite nicely for many patients with depression and anxiety. So that's one of the positive one of the positive effects.
How does one examine their microbiome? How do you assess what the status of their microbiome is, and then if you've actually made a positive change in their microbiome? Is there a test that you can order or a lab you can use?
It's a good question, and the technology is not out there yet, certainly not for public use. So we really have to look at the footprints of the microbiome to assess whether the microbiome is healthy and also to assess whether our treatments are working and improving one's overall health. And those footprints could be the short-chain fatty acids like butyrate, for example. A healthy microbiome should be producing adequate amounts, well, more than adequate, robust amounts of a short-chain fatty acid called butyrate. And you can measure butyrate both in the blood and also in a stool sample. And if the butyrate is robust, then that means that it's a healthier microbiome. That's one of the footprints of the products, the byproducts of a healthy microbiome. Other short-chain fatty acids we can measure as well. Additionally, if we see inflammation on blood testing, like high levels of an inflammatory marker called CRP, there's a very good chance that the source of that inflammation is, in fact, an unhealthy microbiome. So that's another biomarker or a footprint that we can measure to assess the status of the microbiome.
So if we are going to investigate these footprints or surrogate markers, do you routinely check their blood for these things, or are you doing stool studies? And again,
well, I'll tell you,
is there a lab that you like to use that, you know, because I don't know where to send my stool off to
At this point in the game, I would not recommend stool testing because it's not adequately measuring the microbiome. The microbiome is in the gut wall. It's not what you're going to find in the stool. Now, sometimes you see, if it's really bad, you can see some of the effects in the stool of an unhealthy microbiome. But by and large, it's not cost effective. It can frequently be misleading. So most of the time, I don't need to do a stool test. I usually do. I do blood testing, and if I would do a stool test, it would not be to measure the bacterial overgrowth. It will be, again, to be looking at some of the biomarkers and the footprints of a unhealthy microbiome. So, but like a butyrate level could be done in the blood. A CRP absolutely could be done in the blood. Other inflammatory markers like interleukin-6 can be measured in the blood. Insulin levels, believe it or not, you know, I've seen when you improve the microbiome, the fasting insulin levels will likely go down, and so will the CRP, independent of any other treatment. So these are just some of the tests, and you don't need to do that much more than these simple blood tests that are available basically to any physician.
So I'd like to change the direction just a little bit and ask you if you've heard of this treatment that is being used for people with, well, of course you've heard of it, but it's the poop pill. And it's basically take eating or swallowing other people's microbiome to kind of reset or reboot your microbiome.
Well, I'm not in favor of it at this point. I'll tell you for a few reasons. We have very little knowledge at this point of the how grandiose the microbiome is, and I think we really should be walking with trepidation in any type of treatment of the microbiome. Let me try to explain why. It's very difficult to make changes in a microbiome that's been evolving over millions of years. You know, the best thing we can do is to support the microbiome, to give it what it needs. It needs a healthy lifestyle. It needs healthy foods that it uses to proliferate and to flourish. So, like I mentioned in the book, there are the non-resistant starch, and the inulin and arabinogalactans and various foods that the microbiome likes. You know, most of us like chocolate and sugar. They like inulin, and they like jicama and artichokes and leeks, etc. Well, let's take care of them, because if we take care of them, they'll take care of us. I want a healthy microbiome to endogenously evolve, meaning from within. Let it evolve into its own healthy state using its own knowledge and software that's contained within, rather than us trying to manipulate a microbiome with feces and a pill of feces, etc. We don't have that enough knowledge. And I can tell you, we don't even know about long-term side effects. We know that the microbiome... Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's okay. For more information, obviously Dr. Kelman has a lot to say. You can go to his website, RaphaelKelmanMD.com, or get his latest book, The Microbiome Diet Book. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD, reminding you never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends.